Practical Wisdom. Authors Barry Schwartz and Kenneth Sharp. We're growing increasingly disenchanted with the institutions on which we depend. We can't trust them. They disappoint us. They fail to give us what we need. The disenchantment we experience as recipients of services is often matched by the dissatisfaction of those who provide them. Most doctors, for example, want to practice medicine as it should be practiced, but they feel helpless faced with the challenge of balancing the patient's needs with the demands of their practice. So how are we to make things better? Generally, we reach for one or two tools. The first tool is a set of rules and administrative oversight mechanisms that tell people what to do. The second tool is a set of incentives that encourage good performance by rewarding people for it. The assumption underlining incentives is that people will not be motivated to do the right thing unless they have an incentive to do so. Rules and incentives, sticks and carrots, what else is there? There is no doubt that better rules and smarter incentives have an important role to play in improving the way out institutions perform. But rules and incentives are not enough. They leave out something essential. It is practical wisdom. Without this missing ingredient, neither rules nor incentives will be enough to solve the problems we face. Practical wisdom. We tend to think of wisdom as the opposite of practical. Wisdom is about abstract, ethereal matters like the way, or the good, or the truth, or the path. And we tend to think that wisdom is something for sages, gurus, and scholars for white-bearded wizards like Harry Potter's mentor Dumbledore. Aristotle thought that our fundamental social practices consistently demanded choices, like when to be loyal to a friend, or how to be fair, or how to confront risk, or when and how to be angry, and that making the right choices demanded wisdom. Aristotle distilled the idea of practical wisdom in his classic book, Nicomachean Ethics. Ethics, said Aristotle, was not mainly about establishing moral rules and following them. It was about performing at a particular social practice well, being a good friend or parent or doctor or soldier or statesman, and that meant figuring out the right way to do the right thing, in a particular circumstance, with a particular person, at a particular time. This is what took practical wisdom. Combining will and skill. Practical wisdom combines will with skill. Skill without will, without the desire to achieve the proper aims of an activity, can lead to ruthless manipulation of others, to serve one's own interests, not theirs. And will without skill can lead to ineffectual fumbling around, the sort of thing we see in people who mean well, but leave situations in worse shape than they found them. How can we be practically wise? There is no recipe, formula, or set of techniques. Skills are learned through experience, and so is the commitment to the aims of a practice. That's why we associate wisdom with experience, but not just any experience will do. Some experiences nurture and teach practical wisdom, others corrode it, and it is here that Aristotle focuses our attention on something critically important. Character and practical wisdom must be cultivated by the major institutions in which we practice. Faced with today's wisdom deficit, the lack of the wisdom we need to succeed in our daily life and work, he would urge us to examine whether our institutions are discouraging the wisdom of practitioners and, if so, what can be done to make up the deficit. Aristotle would have had a hard time imagining the complexity and breadth of our contemporary institutions, but he would have understood the central problem that informs this idea. The rules and incentives that modern institutions rely on in pursuit of efficiency, accountability, profit, and good performance can't substitute for practical wisdom, nor will they encourage it or nurture it. In fact, they often corrode it. Incentivizing alone won't work. Working for incentives is not the same as working to achieve the telos of an activity. A good doctor aims at recommending the right kind of treatment and has the know-how to tailor the treatment to this particular patient, with this particular history and in these particular life circumstances. If we simply fix the problem of incentivizing doctors to do too much, rewarding them with a fee for any service, by paying doctors bonuses for doing less, they may end up doing too little. Worse, they may learn to make their decisions because of the incentives. We want doctors with the will and skill to do the right amount, and do it because it's the right amount. This goal can be achieved only if doctors embrace the proper aims of medicine and know how to pursue them. Incentives, even smart ones, will do little to help us reach this goal, and often we'll see they may move the goal further away. Ruling alone won't work. Rules cannot substitute for practical wisdom any more than incentives can. We need rules to guide and govern the behaviour of people who are not wise. One reason we suffered the recent financial crisis was that weak and loosely enforced rules and regulations allowed bankers to run amok with shrewd money-making schemes like derivatives. But tighter rules and regulations, however necessary, are pale substitutes for wisdom. Aristotle might say that we need rules to protect us from disaster, but at the same time, rules without wisdom are blind and at best guarantee mediocrity, forcing wise practitioners to become outlaws, rule breakers, pursuing a kind of guerrilla war to achieve excellence. The machinery of wisdom. Practical wisdom requires nuanced thinking, flexibility, creativity, and empathetic engagement with others. Are most of us capable of developing and exercising it? There is evidence from psychology that human beings are born with the capacity to be wise. The raw materials are there, waiting to be developed. But this capacity must be cultivated by the right kind of experience. Born to be wise. Natural categories, frames, and narratives, these are the tools we use to organize and interpret the world. We do it naturally, we do it effortlessly. And these tools are incredibly useful. They enable us to perceive the particularities of context that practical wisdom demands. The world is grey. Natural categories enable us to see grey. Judgments are almost always relative. Frames help us see relations. And isolated events or episodes occur in the context of ongoing lives being lived. Narratives enable us to appreciate lives as lived and make sense of the episode before us. We learn how to categorize and frame and recategorize and reframe through our own experiences and by being around mentors who provide models and correct our mistakes. Wisdom is not automatic. It must be nurtured by experience, but experience has excellent raw materials to work with. Wisdom and happiness. Protecting good work and the practical wisdom to do it means recognizing ways to protect it from the time pressures, the rules, and the external incentives that threaten to push it out. Nurturing practical wisdom in those areas where work and wisdom are under assault demands even more. In our schools, hospitals, law firms, bank, and armed forces, it's important to actively promote the conditions that encourage wisdom.